Now it says in verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Here again he saw, as it were, you know, billowing clouds of heaven, as it were, and this great red dragon, it seems to be there, a great red dragon. Now you've never seen a dragon like this one, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Every head had a crown upon it, and there were 10 horns, maybe one on each one of the 7 and enough more somewhere else, maybe on the central head, to make a total of 10. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, this goes back to the symbol of Satan the devil. And we find that that is very clearly explained right in the Bible itself. A few verses later in verse 9, it says, quote, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. So, no mystery about who is the dragon. It is Satan the devil. Now, about the 7 heads and 10 horns, well, we've got to look. Some other prophecies are going to be coming up, and I'll explain it in great detail as we go along in these programs about what those mean, what the crowns are, what the stars are, what the horns are, which head is which. Now, in verse 4, when it says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, that is fascinating, because in Revelation 1 and verse 10, you see the explanation in this book that stars are synonymous with angels. And that is exactly what this means. 1/3 of the angelic hosts were under the sway and the control of Lucifer, a former cherub or archangel, right at the very level of God's throne, as you see in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Now, Jesus said something that most people pass over very lightly, you very seldom ever hear referred to in the Bible, in Luke 10 and verse 18. If you've got a red-letter Bible, here's a statement of Jesus Christ showing his pre-existent state, prior to his birth of the Virgin Mary in a human form, he said unto them, quote, verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Interesting, isn't it? And then he went on to tell the disciples how he had given them power over evil spirits. Now, it's obviously that the great red dragon is Satan the devil. His tail drawing a third part of the stars of heaven means that the angels followed him, his third of them. The other third were under, 1/3 was under Michael, the other third was under Gabriel, and 1/3 were under Lucifer. Those that were under Lucifer followed him in his rebellion when he was cast out of heaven to the earth, and then it says the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born, and that is obvious reference to Satan the devil engineering through Herod the attempts to kill Jesus Christ as a baby, and Herod's edict to kill all the children of 2 years of age and under. Now it says in verse 5, and she brought forth, that is the figurative church or the woman, brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is going to rule all nations. Few people believe that. Very few people see him as coming back down to this earth. Instead, they believe in a rapture. They believe in saints going away from the earth prior to the tribulation. We're going to cover all of that. They believe in saints going to heaven. They don't believe the plain scriptures of the Bible that says Christ is coming back to rule over France and Italy and Germany and Vietnam and Japan and the United States and every other country on the face of this earth. A practical truth that he's going to rule the world. Notice verse 5, she, that is symbolic, the woman, meaning the church, brought forth a man-child, the baby, Jesus Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, the prophecies that were given at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ that are certainly ignored mostly in the pagan ceremonies surrounding Christmas had to do with the fact that he was going to inherit the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there would be no end. Now let's be rational for a minute and ask a couple of questions about that. It said very clearly in this prophecy in Revelation that this man-child, meaning Jesus Christ, was going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Did he do that in ancient Israel among the Jewish people to whom he came? Well, the answer is, of course, no. Did he do it in any other surrounding country? Did Jesus journey down to Egypt or up to Syria or over to Rome and take a throne and rule them with a rod of iron? Well, ridiculous. Of course, he did not. Has he, so far as you know in history, at any time, ruled any nation with a rod of iron? Well, of course, the answer is absolutely not. And yet, you know, statement after statement in the Bible about the very purpose for the first coming as well as the second coming of Jesus Christ, that his calling was to inherit the throne of his father David, which is still on this earth, which was prophesied to be overturned 3 times and never again overturned until he come whose right it is, and to be inherited of Jesus Christ, and then to govern and to rule on this earth with a rod of iron. Look at Revelation 2:26, where those who overcome are promised co-rulership with Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 3:21. Where they will sit with him in his throne. Revelation 20 and verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Look at the many prophecies about the coming government of God, the kingdom of God, that is going to rule on this earth. And then look at how men try to spiritualize that away. They don't understand it in plain, simple, everyday terms. And therefore, the vast majority of so-called professing Christians of the major, great, universal religions, as well as the daughters that came out of the original one, do not believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is going to reign on this earth literally for a 1,000-year period and rule over nations like a great, benevolent, loving, merciful, kind, and yet firm dictator. But a benevolent, loving, forgiving, merciful dictator. Because that's the kind of government it's going to be. Totally concentrated in one being. But you see, the difference is he will not be a human being. Any human dictator is destined to make lives absolutely, wretchedly miserable around him because he is filled with human failings, with faults, and with, of course, all kinds of human problems that we all have. Any human being just comes up so short. I do, you do, we all do. We sometimes can be misled. We can be deceived. We can have misinformation and perverted and twisted and distorted tales that are brought to us. We can be absolutely unable to really collect all the facts on a given subject and therefore to arrive at an equitable judgmental decision affecting other people's lives. Human dictators are usually brutes. They're usually despotic, incredibly egotistical and narcissistic. And, of course, one of the most short-lived offices in the world would be someone very close to a human dictator. That was true of Adolf Hitler, of the generals who tried to assassinate him. It was true of people on down through history. If you look at some of the great so-called leaders, if they were great, back to Otto the Great, the Habsburgs, if you look at some of the Napoleons, and certainly Louis Napoleon and Napoleon Bonaparte, of what happened to people who were close to some of these heads of state who were great dictators, kind of an impermanent position, wasn't it? Well, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is going to be, of course, a benevolent, loving, merciful, kind, forgiving dictator. Isn't it crazy to say that the kind of government he is going to usher in on the world is a government of compulsory joy? He is going to have to force the world to be happy. Now, it's really stupid that you have to even say it that way, but perhaps that's a shocking enough way to put it to get the point across. Most people seem to go about the business of making themselves miserable almost deliberately. People will go out of their way to get hurt feelings, to misunderstand, to let selfishness and ego hurt them and make them feel just very put upon by other people. Because human nature is utter self, it is jealousy, vanity, ego, lust, avarice, cunning, hate, spite, selfishness, greed, all of these evil appetites. And of course, the program of the government and the kingdom of God is to cause human beings who receive Jesus Christ of Nazareth and who are converted to overcome in a lifelong process this rotten human nature, and to replace this rotten human nature of avarice, of jealousy, cunning, of greed, and of total selfishness with the spiritual feelings of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of his own mind and his own nature, his very personality and his character, which is goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, mercy, which is an outgoing feeling of selflessness, of wanting to serve, wanting to give, wanting to sacrifice, wanting to help other people. And only such a being could be qualified to rule over humankind. No human is a fit ruler over any other human. It's just that plain, because we're so fallible, we're so filled with our own selfishness and with rotten human nature. Now, even converted humans aren't really fit to rule over other people. That's why Jesus Christ of Nazareth put checks and balances in his church. That's why he said that even among the ministry, they were all to be subject one to the other. That's why he urged his disciples to understand that it was the Gentiles who lorded it over their subject. But it shall not be so, he said, among you. Whosoever will be the greatest among you, he told his disciples, let him be your servant. So the more humble, the more lowly the individual, the more he was willing to even bend his back to task work, as pictured perfectly in the example of Jesus Christ stooping to wash the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper, then really the greater he was, not in the sight of man. Man might impugn him and ridicule him and say, look at this poor guy down here washing feet, doing the work of a servant. But in the sight of God, he would be exalted. Well, the point is, in verse 5, when it says he was to rule all nations, he hasn't done it yet, he didn't do it then, he's not doing it now, but the time is coming when he is going to rule all nations, and that is the good news.